Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome on the second Sunday of Advent. The text for this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, beginning at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, here in Scripture. We know soon we're going to be starting to hear a lot of Christmas music playing in the stores and on the radio, and many of us, I think, have come to love especially certain Christmas carols, in particular like O Holy Night. And not just to see if the soloist is going to be able to hit that really high, super high D either. First written back in 1843 by French poet Placide Campeau, the lyrics were translated into English just a few years later by an American pastor by the name of John Sullivan Dwight. Now, what you may not know is that the carol's initial popularity is often traced to its third stanza, just absolutely cherished by abolitionists in the United States, who, of course, were fighting for the freedom of African-American slaves. Lines from that stanza read, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." These days, the carol can be appreciated for still another reason. It's recognition of a very weary world. The carol sings in stanza one, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." And so the carol pictures a very weary world, thrilled by the hope of an end to a long, exhausting life of unabated sin and error. But O Holy Night doesn't stand alone in this recognition of a weary world. Edmund Sears, his song, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," written back in 1849, also describes the song of the Christmas angels floating over a weary world in stanza two. "Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats over the weary world." Nor does it end with that carol, for that matter. Some call it actually a carol for the despairing, but "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day" originally was a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow written on Christmas, right in the middle of the Civil War, America's bloodiest war. Weary of war, Longfellow wrote in his third stanza these lyrics, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Just 2 years after Longfellow wrote this poem and put it to song, Longfellow wrote a letter to his friend Henry Ingersoll Bowditch in post-Civil War 1866. Quote, "The death of the young men in the war makes my heart bleed whenever I think of it, particularly on that cold December night when I came back with my son and saw you at the rail station and knew that yours would come back to you no more." That was the landscape in which Longfellow wrote his carol. We aren't currently entrenched in a literal civil war, although it certainly feels like that politically and culturally, if not spiritually. But the cracks in our country's foundation are splitting wider every day. People with power abuse it. People without it suffer. Day after day, the news cycles give us all kinds of horrors reporting. Many days, it feels a little bit like the end of the world's coming. And you know what? As a matter of fact, it is. You see, a significant part of the message of, as well as the reason for, the Advent season is that with the coming of Christ, the end is near. The end of all the weariness that envelops a sinful world populated by sinful people doing sinful things. So with a cue from our carols, let me ask you, are you feeling weary more often these days, tired, fatigued? Does it look like the Song of the Angels this Christmas will be floating across a weary you? Do you maybe find yourself in the middle of in-between, waiting for resolution or reconciliation or vindication or at least some positive change, but with none of it in sight? What has you weary? Are you weary of your circumstances, your age, your illness, your relationships, your job? In J.R.R. Tolkien's The Fellowship of the Ring, the hobbit Bilbo Baggins says to Gandalf, "I am old, Gandalf. I don't look it, but I am beginning to feel it in my heart of hearts, well preserved indeed. Why, I feel all thin, sort of stretched, if you know what I mean, like butter that's been scraped over too much bread. That can't be right. I need a change or something." Do you also feel stretched thin? Are you winded and exhausted from a pace that has you spent physically, emotionally, and even spiritually? Have you just about given up hope that we can solve any of our big problems? You know, the economy, wars, pandemics, immigration, wokeism. Is it all too much, this grueling marathon that we're on? There are many ways that we can go when we're wearied by life. But instead of sticking our heads in the sand like the mythical ostrich, the prophet Isaiah in our text this morning counsels that with the Lord's strength, we can soar like an eagle. And yet weary people are often difficult people. We can live with despair. We can complain. We can blame. Now, how does the old proverb go? It's hard to soar like an eagle when you're surrounded by turkeys. But when we get weary, we might not even see the needs of all those around us or the opportunities right before our eyes. Even in each of us who've been redeemed and forgiven by the blood of Christ, while we walk this earth, there's still this struggle between weariness and being strong in the Lord. It's one aspect of what Martin Luther referred to in Latin as God's people being simul ustis et peccator. In other words, the paradox of simultaneously being both a saint as well as a sinner. Or as American poet Carl Sandburg is credited with this introspective thought, there is an eagle in me that wants to soar, and there is a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. Well, this text from Isaiah addresses the wallowing hippo in each of us. Weary is all over the text. Isaiah first uses the word to establish that God himself does not faint or grow weary. Now, that's good news, knowing that the one who's running the universe, Isaiah says, doesn't fatigue. You and I would, if any of us were God. But thank God we're not God. With all God has to do and to be, you'd expect God to get weary at some point in time. I mean, God always has been and will be God, and that's a mighty long marathon of divine responsibility with some very high expectations attached to it. But Isaiah assures us that God never feels, how did Bilbo put it, all thin, stretched, sort of stretched out like butter that's been scraped over too much bread. In fact, Isaiah says that God gives power to the faint and increases the strength of those with no strength left. In the long history of God and humanity, God has always been our strength for the weary, as well as a second, if not third, wind for those of us who are ready to fall. Do you see what's happening here, though? Isaiah spoke with words of comfort to people weary of the long, long wait for a promised Messiah. He was initially speaking to a chosen people, beleaguered by bad Babylonians who were losing their sense of being chosen. Isaiah's words of comfort and assurance were for those who'd forgotten the chapter of their history titled The Exodus, and those who had spent decades as exiles in a strange land. Today, Isaiah's comfort also reaches any of us who want to follow Jesus, but who still find ourselves weak and weary from dealing daily with the ravages of living in a world of sin. But instead of bellowing like some NFL line coach, brace up then, lean into it, dig deep, don't go soft on me now, Isaiah doesn't even say be strong or be courageous. What Isaiah does do, though, is bring to remembrance the God who has always been there for the weary. Have you not known, he asks? Have you not heard? Or to put it another way, don't you remember? Have you forgotten? You know, here, Isaiah is a remembrancer. Yes, that's an actual word. Did you know that historically kings had remembrancers in their court? That's the actual title used for them, to remind the king of significant past events or commitments, lest the kingdom suffer consequences from forgetting past events and commitments. So then, what we have here in the text this morning is a remembrancer speech, a comfort speech, veering us away from our inwardly oriented weariness to remembering a tireless, all-wise, all-powerful God who always will remember his covenant with his people. Isaiah has us remember who God is and what God's like in verses 28 and 29. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. More than this, though, Isaiah turns us to God alone, who is able to offer divine strength to renew us with his promises and to replace our weariness with hope. There's a wonderful exchange in this that I know some of you have experienced personally. The exchange is your weakness for the Lord's strength. Isaiah puts it this way in verses 29 to 31. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fail. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who doesn't want to soar like an eagle? Even Jesus says, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. The image presents an eagle ascending well beyond expected boundaries. And eagles do that. They can fly at altitudes of 10,000 to 15,000 feet. You know, of course, though, it isn't a new image, this picture of an ascending eagle. When God brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt, God said in Exodus 19:4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Isaiah, no doubt, is doing some remembrancing right here. Our God has a history of taking the weary and putting us into eagle-like flight. The Advent season is here to remind us who are getting so physically, mentally, and spiritually exhausted from this increasingly weary world that for those of us on this side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Savior has come to exchange our long weariness of sin and error and our pining about it and renew us with a thrilling hope that rejoices in the strength of Christ to overcome sin, death, and a very draining and tiring world of ours. This is the God we know and the God we trust to renew our strength every day, as in one of St. Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians 12:20, when the Apostle Paul remembered how even in his weakest moments, God's strength had always come through. When I am weak, he wrote, then I am strong. And that is someone acquainted with the exchange of the Lord's strength for our weary weakness. But this Advent is meant to finally bring renewal to the lives of God's redeemed and forgiven people. God is bringing his kingdom to us, the culmination of his gracious rule over our hearts and lives. The last thing we find in the Bible is a description in Revelation 21 of a new heaven and a new earth with no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Meanwhile, the world is always in process of dying, and one day it will end. Justice is never done, but one day it will roll down like a river. But you and I who trust in Christ alone for our salvation won't have to be concerned, because it was in Christ himself that both justice and mercy found their perfect balance and fulfillment for us. Don't let the weariness of watching your savings or retirement account shrink by the month while your grocery bill increases by the day. Don't let that rob you of the joy set before you when Christ comes to renew both your weary body and soul. In the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, we're assured in Revelation 22, 6 and 20, by Christ himself, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star, and surely I am coming soon. The question is, are you ready for his return, or too weary from being spread too thin to stay alert? I recently came across a story about Ben Wood, who founded Shepherd's Home in Wisconsin for boys and girls with developmental disabilities. Wood said, "Do you know what our biggest maintenance problem at Shepherd's is? Dirty windows. Our kids press their hands and faces against the windows because they're looking to the sky to see if today might be the day that Jesus will return for them and take them to his home, where they will be healed and complete." So let's not be too weary to ask God's help to run to the window every once in a while, lest we lose heart for the day when the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Meanwhile, Christ additionally gives us this encouraging invitation and promise in Matthew 11, 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Rest for the weary. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And so we pray, Jesus, renew us by once again being born in us today. Amen.